Very nice. Rav Shlita. Mazel Tov, Howard. Lovely hearing all these tiddly bits of news, and you should carry on having lots of nachas and good health. I'm very grateful to Elliot Deller, who suggested today's topic. It had never occurred to me before to speak about it, and when I began to explore it, I found it very fascinating. So we're going to deal with it in two parts, and Gershon Hepner has very kindly given me some of his own ideas, but those are matters which really relate to part two. Although while we're talking about Gershon Hepner, I'll mention his son, whom we all know, Yeshaya Nosson, who, as a very keen Baal Koire and Talmud of Chai Olam Yeshiva, was politely asked by certain machas of that yeshiva that when he leans from the Sefer Torah, could he please pronounce his Cholam Vov as Oi rather than O? And when he told me that, and he duly consented and complied with their request. And we might well ask the question, was he right to do so? Because as we look at different sources today, we may well find that what the yeshiva world is doing has no halachic basis. Shock, horror, okay, it could get into the papers. So what we're going to look at some of these sources, and you should have a handout in front of you which gives you an idea of what this Cholam Vov is all about. But just as a background, in my own personal background, I really got three different kinds of traditions. Because my father, Lecha Tzadik Levracha, was born of Polish-Russian background. And my grandparents, from his side, used to say Pirim and Lilov. And as children, we used to giggle when my grandmother used to say, I haven't yet taken the Lilov. When my father was 4 years old and he was attending Cheder in Dalston, he was told, we don't do it that way here. And he was taught the English way, and that's the way I was brought up, to pronounce Torah, not Toira. Yet, nevertheless, it was very interesting because in my father's latter years, subconsciously, when he made a brocha, he said Burich, and he didn't say Boruch. And it seemed to have just been because that was what he had from his early childhood. On my mother's side, my mother came from Frankfurt am Main. Her family fortunately escaped in March 39, just before the gates closed. And as we all know, the Frankfurt tradition is not to say Torah, but Tauroh. And in fact, my wife, who comes from Switzerland and is of Yekish stock, she teaches our children or grandchildren, Das ist mini Tauroh, Bereshis Shemaus, Vayikra Bamidbar Devarim. So that gives me three different traditions within my own family. For a while in London, I attended Yeshiva Eitz Chaim, where the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Nosson Ordman would speak about the Heiliger Teira. So he didn't say Torah or Taurah or Torah, he said Teira. And if you play some videos of the late Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichron and Rocha, he spoke about the Teira. So you've got really four different pronunciations. Which of these is correct, or are they all correct? Well, again, as a background, the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Chelek Gimel Siman Hei, says that you shouldn't change the tradition which is handed down to you. We recognize that there are different traditions. And there is a rule, Al Titosh Torah Simecho, don't depart from the Torah of your mother. Mother, hence I should keep the Frankfurt way. But the questions, of course, arrive when you have different discholos. You go from one shul to another shul. We have discussed once about Ashkenaz and Sephardi, and that there are different discholos. The Mishnah Berurah says in Samach Vav Dalad that you just don't switch from your nusach, which is handed down to you. There are 12 gates in heaven corresponding to the 12 tribes, and each of the 12 tribes had their own customs. And when you are thinking about changing because you think it's more heimish to go oi instead of o, when you go into the yeshiva world and everyone's doing oi and they're giggling at the yekkers, they're laughing at the yekkers, so much so that you feel embarrassed to say o and you want to change to oi, the truth is that, well, in the words of my dear mother, the Chronel of Rocha, she used to say, these people have become Yom Tov Dick. That means they become what they think is more from, but really in reality there is nothing more from about it. There was an interesting shaila which came up with Rabbi Cooper. I was discussing just now with Henry about a Baal Tefillah who came to this shul who was pronouncing the Sfadi pronunciation, and that Rabbi Cooper, in consultation with Rav Padua, allowed it. I remember in my teenage years that Rabbi Cooper went to Dan Padua about another question, and that was when boys became bar mitzvah, and the London Board of Jewish Education had started this tradition that the children in the United Synagogue Chadorim are learning with the Havarah Sefaradit, with the Sfadit pronunciation, and Rabbi Cooper didn't know what to do when boys becoming bar mitzvah and they were departing. Rabbi Cooper. Well, yeah. That might not be so accidental because they were both equally great. But so Rabbi Padva said you have to allow the bar mitzvah boys to lane or daven in the way they have been taught, in the way they've been brought up, and it's not justified to change it. Although, as David remarked, there are certain shuls in Hendon Golders Green which still are steadfast in their traditions. So, what is the right way? Most of what I say today is quoted from a sefer of Rav Binyamin Hamburger, who wrote Shorshei Minhagei Ashkenaz, which is now in 5 amazing volumes. And in volume number 1, he devotes a whole chapter to the pronunciation of the Cholam Vov. And this handout I've given you is a photocopy from his sefer, where he actually looks at these different pronunciations. The story is told about Rav Yosef Duna, who many of you might still remember. He was the Ravad of the Adas in Stamford Hill, and he came from very strong Yekish stock, and he was asked to lead Tehillim at one of the Aguda conventions. This was in the year 1980. He was asked to say Tehillim, and in doing so the Gabba asked him whether he could kindly pronounce his Cholam Vov with the Ois to reflect the majority of the people who are present, to say Toira rather than Tauro, and he gave a half a nod and went up to the podium and led the Tehillim in true Yekish style with Tauro. There's another story about Rav Moshe Schwab, who was Mashgiach in Gateshead Yeshiva when I was there. He came from very strong Yekish stock. Indeed, his brother, Rav Shimon Schwab, was the Rav of the Yekers in Kilod Asishur in Manhattan, New York. And Rav Moshe Schwab, though, went to yeshiva in Litta, where, of course, the pronunciation wasn't even Oi, it was A. And once he decided, when davening, or was it on a Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, that he should really stick to the tradition of his ancestors, because he came from Germany, and he will stop using the Lashon of A or Oi and go back to Al, because of Al Titosh Tarasimecho and the tradition that was handed down to him. But when he came to Gateshead, and the Bochurim were laughing at him, they made it a joke that he was going Al, and the Hanhala sat down about it and realized that their job as Mashkiach was to be Makar of the boys and to liaise and relate well to them. So they decided, in the light of that, that he should use the pronunciation Oi, just so that the boys could relate better to him. And talking about laughing at the Yekkers, the story is told of Dain Grosnas, whose brother was a member of this shul for many years. And Dain Grosnas, he went from Germany to Poland to learn in yeshivas there, and they didn't at first make him feel very welcome, this very well-dressed German who was coming to the scruffy back streets of Poland. And they asked him, why do you want to learn here? You've got yeshivas in Germany. He said, yes, in Germany they learn very well by day, but I want to learn by day and by night. And that's how they accepted him in the yeshiva there. So he kept a low profile. He was a bit embarrassed at the fact that he had this Yekish background, so much so that when they called him up to the Sefer Torah, his name he gave as Yehuda Leiv Grosnas, and they called him up as Aryeh Leiv. And suddenly everybody started calling him Aryeh Leiv. But because he was so embarrassed about his Yekishkeit and that people were laughing at him, he didn't tell anybody what his real name was anymore. And not only that, his whole life people were calling him Aryeh Leiv, and you look at his Shalos HaTshuvos, which I think are here, it gives his name as Aryeh Leiv Grosnas. And when he was about to die, he said to his son Lazar, I want to tell you my real name is Yehudalev, but I didn't have the heart to change it. They were all in full swing calling me Aryeh Lev, so I just left it at that. But my real name is Yehudalev. And Lazar had to convince his siblings when they prepared them up, favor, which name to write on. In the end, they wrote both names. They wrote Rabbi Yehudalev, and also known as Aryeh Lev. So, but we know from the Shulchan Aruch, the very beginning of Aruch Chaim, you don't laugh at people who have a firm tradition which they sincerely believe in, and it's not something to mock people about. Well, Rav Yonah Metzbach writes in Ale Yonah that every generation cares about Al Titosh Torah Semecha. We've got traditions, and you respect what you were taught. Nevertheless, if you want to know what is really the most correct pronunciation of all, Rav Yeshua Bressler brings down in his Sefer Sofer Brura, and he has the agreement of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, about the different pronunciations. So if you look at the handout in front of you, you've got the four main ones. The Poland, Austria, Hungary type is an O followed by an E, if you see the Hatznua Vagyashkenazit, O E, Kamut and Chirik. The Kamut is the O, and the Chirik is the E, and the two combined together make Oi. So he writes in the English toy, but I don't think toy is as accurate as oyster or ploy. Toy usually has a slightly different Oi to it. But anyway, that's the idea. The second one he lists from Lita or Russia is Pei, as we said, the Peira, and that's with an E and an E to pronounce, the Segel and the Chirik, to use the correct terms.
What does Segel mean?
Segel is E. Huh? What we call E is the Segel. Although some might pronounce it more as I. Like, we got the festival of Pesach, although we talk about people going away for Pesach, and so it colloquially becomes a Seire, but it's really an E. Or Litta, oh, down in Lithuania, yeah, down in the Eastern European areas, yes. Then he's got the third category, which he lists as Safon Germania, as North Germany and Holland, and as you say, Elliot, that's also Denmark. And you've got the ah and the u combined, the patach and the shuruk, which creates the ow, as in the English word how. And then you've got the ones listed as South Germany, Schweiz, Switzerland, Sorfat, Latvia, Anglia, Safon America, North America, which is a comet or combined with a u, which is the shuruk, which creates O.
What's a comet?
As in the English go. Comet is O, which we say as O. Hasidim say U for comets, but that is our tradition. Comet is O.
Is that Denmark as well?
Denmark is usually the owl.
Sorry, I'm worried about them.
Yeah, we're not too worried about them. I mean, I don't know what the Irish do, and I don't, you know, but those are the
Irish.
Yeah, this is now talking about the Ashkenazim. The Sfaradim, yeah, we will deal a little bit if we got time with Sfaradim, but those are the Ashkenazi ways which are handed down to us.
It's now, taught in the book about from Shimshon of Farhash, that when he came to Frankfurt, he used to say, it's brought in the book.
That's interesting. I didn't know that, because when you read the Chorev, which he wrote, it's very clear that he was pronouncing things like, you can see R-A-U-S-C-H, and for Rosh Chodesh, R-A-U-S-C-H-O-U-D-E-S-H. So he was clearly writing as Rosh Chodesh.
With a Chorev.
And Rosh Chodesh. So, but what he does make a difference between North Germany and South Germany, because he finds that in the communities in South Germany it was O and not Au. So there is a distinction there. Also, although my mother came from Frankfurt, they had people coming to Frankfurt, like the Chazan came from Hungary, and who did have different pronunciations. So Frankfurt wasn't so bow wow wow as we all think. Excuse me. Now this Sefer Sofer Bruach, he brings down from the Radak, Rav David Kimchi, the Sefer HaMichlo, who says that when you say your Cholam Vov, it should end with the English W. Right? So that English W does happen when you say ow or o, but it doesn't happen when you say oi or a. When you say a, you're ending with a yud. When you say oi, you're ending with a yud. But when you say the ow or the o, you're ending with that sound of the W, which is really when your lips are coming together. So you're starting off with a wide open mouth, and you're closing the mouth as you say it, because you're ending with a shuruk vov, the oo, which we've got in our handout. So when you end with a shuruk vov, your lips are virtually closed, and you're giving that W sound. So that, according to Rav David Kimchi, is the correct pronunciation for the cholam vov. If we now turn to a reference to Gemara in Brochus, Daf Tes Vov, there the Gemara talks about how careful you've got to be when you recite the Kriyas Shema. So much so that there are some words where the last letter of one word and the first letter of the next word are exactly the same. So you have to be careful not to join the words together. For example, Vavadatem Mehera. If you say in a rush, Vavadatem Mehera, you're only saying one mem. So you're not, you're for Kriyas Shema. So you have to say, Vavadatem, pause, Mehera. So the Gemara lists some of these other examples. So it says there in the Gemara, Al Levavecho, Esev Besodecho, although the vase is not exactly the same as the base, the two easily get absorbed together. Vavadatem Mehera. And then Rashi there says, Kim Ein Kari Mafrid Bein HaTevos, because if you don't separate between the words, where the second one starts with the same letter as the first one's ending, you're reading it as though it's just one letter, and then you're not Yotzer. Now, if you look at the Rif on this Gemara, the Rif in his commentary on the Gemara has another Nusach. He adds to this list, Oso Uzacharten, from the last paragraph of the Shema, Uri'isem Oso Uzacharten. In any case, you should pause after Uri'isem Oso because of the way it's translated. But if people say Uri'isem Oso Uzacharten, then your Oso, because it ends with an U, Oso, right, and you say Uzacharten, you'll be joining them together, and you'll be doing one U instead of two U's. So that is from the Rif. I mean, you can't get much earlier than the Rishonim, and the Rif is saying you have to be careful not to say Oso Uzacharten because it's only one U, which he brings down as a proof from the Rif that the Oso ends with an U, that the Cholam Vov ends with an U. And if you look at your handout, the only two examples which end with the U, or the Shuruk as it's called, or some say Kubut, is the How and the Go, and not the Toy or the Play or Pay. A very interesting proof which is brought down.
Wasn't the Rif Sephardi?
Yes.
So wouldn't he have said, instead of O, wouldn't he have said O?
Correct. That's the even bigger Chiddush.
Right.
Because the Rif was a Sephardi, uh-huh, and he was still particular to end his Cholam Vov with an O. So, if I will bring you a comment from Rav Yaakov Emden, he talks about the Sephardim, and that their Cholam, he says, Hacholam Botel Letzlof. He says, we have great respect for the Sfardim and so on, but Onu Ashkenazim Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. Thank God that we have this tradition that we say the Cholavov, which ends with an U. Because never the Sfardim do not do this. They've lost that tradition. As if to claim that they did originally have that tradition. Similarly, in contrast, if the correct pronunciation of the Cholam Vov is oi, as in toira, or oyster, or toy, then you would have been told by the Gemara to be more careful when you say, be'ito yore umalkosh, Because if you say oi, it would be b'itzhoi oire, b'itzhoi ending with a yud. But the Gemara never said that. It never made any reference to b'itzhoi yore. But it would have done had you been pronouncing your cholam vov as an oi. And in the same way, v'lo yihyeh motor v'ha'adomo. If you would say v'loi yihyeh, then you've got a yud at the end of your v'loi, and you've got a yud at the beginning of yihyeh, and you would have been told to be careful to separate the v'lo and the yihyeh. But because the oi is not correct, the Gemara never bothered telling you such examples. Rashi, also a Rishon. Rashi made an interesting comment in Beshalach on the word Mimuseinu Bamidbar, and he makes a point, you know, better that would we have rather died in Egypt, Mimuseinu, and he makes a special point of saying it doesn't say Mimoseinu. Mimuseinu is a verb, Mimoseinu is a noun. You can look it up, we won't go into the details of how, but various commentaries pounce on this Rashi as to how Rashi took seriously the Cholam Vov as opposed there to the Shuruk, the U rather than the Ow. So there a comment is made by the Levush in Shmos Tesvov Hei. And the Levush says, according to Rashi uses not the word cholam for cholam vov, he has a different expression for it. He calls it the malafom, or malofom. I don't know exactly how it was spelled, or it might be malofom.
Malupum.
Yeah. And now most hold that malupum is another name for the shuruk, but he holds that the malupum is the cholam. And he says it's called the malupum. So that's why the commentaries pounce on this. Now what is he talking about? And the Levush writes there that this is a pronunciation with kibbutz sefasayim, where you are closing your lips. It is only the ow or the o where you are closing your lips. When you say oi, you're not. You could be a ventriloquist and not move your lips when you say oi.
Ow, it's your out of your mouth.
When you say ow, ah. Well, this is the interesting thing, because with Rashi,
your mouth is open, you don't bring your lips together.
With ow, you start with a wide open mouth and you're closing your lips as you're saying it. Right? As you're saying the ow, you are moving your mouth and closing it virtually. So the Maharal writes in Gur Aryeh, Shmos Yud Dalad Beis, he says, V'hanukuda shehu al ha'os piv mole mimeno, l'kach nikreis malapum. Is that we call it malapum? So he's saying it is where you have an os piv mole, a full wide open mouth. And the Be'er Ma'ariv Chaim says on this, shehapeh nismale gam kein b'kriyasa, where the mouth is very full, it's wide open when you start saying it. So it seems, according to Rashi, it's more correct to say ow than o. Because o, you don't have such a wide open mouth like with the ow. That's Rashi. Comes along the Vilna Gaon, the Gro. I mean, in the yeshiva world, they will respect Rashi and they'll respect the Vilna Gaon. And the Ro actually writes in a sefer called Dikduk Eliyahu that the Cholam Vov is pronounced as illustrated in this handout with an O and an U, the fourth example on your handout. He says the cholam vov, he says explicitly, is O combined with U, which is O the English way. And Rav Shaul Dablitsky writes on this and he explains who O come over Anglia of America. This, what the Vilna Gaon means, is the letter O as pronounced in England and in America. In fact, the Americans' cholam vov is slightly different to the English one. Theirs is halfway between the O and the Ow. It's O.
I don't think the Vilna Gaon would have mentioned America, because I don't think there were any Jews in America at the time.
Yeah. Well, it had been discovered, but that's true. But my son Daniel, who's done a bit of research in this, he thinks that in the light of the Rashi and the Vilna Gaon, that the American pronunciation is probably even more correct than the English way of the O, rather between the O and the O. But that's his opinion. So we've dealt with the Yekas. We've got sources, very good sources. We're talking about the Gemara and Brochus, the Rif, Rashi, the Vilna God. You can't get much better than that. So now we have to go over to the Polish and the Galicians and the Hungarians and see what have they got to support themselves. And when you look through this whole culture of Rabbi Nomi Hamburger, their sources, if any, are very weak. There's a Rav Shabsi Sofer Mipamashlia, who is quoted, who was from the Galicians, and he writes on Mizmor LeSoda on the word Velo Anachnu, and there's a Velo, is it written with an Aleph or a Vav? And he writes there, Ad Sheikhmot Sefosov. He says, care should be taken when you say that Velo Anachnu, it should be that you're closing your lips as you say it. And he was from that part of the world, from Galicia, where he was essentially saying that you should be using like the English word go. Certainly there are some theorists who say that the Yiddish language was an influence, because the way Yiddish has been talked, you get the oi coming up very much. And Rav Moshe Feinstein supports it. He says, Kolona b'nei Ashkenaz. Seems Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was pronouncing Teira, not Teira, but whatever. But there was a well-known Rebbe called the Rajna Rebbe, Rav Leiner, who was well-known for trying to introduce the Cheles in some form, although his source seems to have been disproved. But in another place, he writes something called Merek Kriyas HaTorah. This is quote by Rav Zev Katz, and he quotes the Rav Leiner, and he says, the problem with us people in Galicia, and the way the Hasidim pronounce, Einom Osin Chiluk, they don't make a distinction between Zochon and Akeva, between male and female. Namely, the word who, written as Hey Vov Aleph or Hey Yod Aleph. In fact, I counted in Sazria Matsora, there are about 40 examples of Hey Vov Aleph, some of which are who, some of which are he. So you can really have great pity on the Baal Korah for Sazria Matsora. And when you go to a Hasidic Shtiebel, every single one of them is he. Yeah. You know, if you want to cheat and you're Baal Korah and you can't be bothered to distinguish between who and he, then go and lay in the Shtiebel of the Hasidic, because they won't correct you. He is correct for all of them. And he makes a very interesting comment, Rav Leiner. He says, what have they done to the word who? They've made it into androgynous. Yes. And androgynous is a hermaphrodite, I think we call it, where both male and female attributes in one being. And so they've made the word who into a hermaphrodite.
It's interesting that in Hungary,
yes,
where they supposedly said he, they didn't. They said who.
Yeah.
And if you go to 69, you'll still see people who say, instead of he, they say who.
Yes, it's interesting you say that, because Reb Yossi Shisha, yeah, who lays in the Hashkoma at Reb Chuna's, he makes a distinction between who and who, where he's not quite into the he, but he's edging towards it. Well, so the question was put to the Baal Shem Tov, who was really the founder of the Hasidic movement, and he answered a very interesting thing. He said, well, if you show love and dedication in your davening, then you don't have to worry.
So where do the Hasidim get where we say A, they say I?
Yeah, they say Paisa. Yeah. And my barber once said to me, are you cidering tonight? They say Burich, and this is the way my father was taught when he was a very little child. So how do we understand all this? So the Hasidim of the Baal Shem Tov looked at this, and they quoted their Rebbe saying, even though he doesn't say the Tamim Karoi or the correct way, since he is reading with great love and with dedication, God is not so particular. Their attitude is, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really care if you say U or E? It's your Kavanah which matters. It's a very dangerous concept, because that's how the reform come about. You know, you're a good Jew, you mean it well, you're a good heart. Even though we are not pronouncing things correctly, parable to a child whose father loves him very much, and he asks his father for something, and even though he stutters and he doesn't say things properly to his father, nevertheless his father gives him. That is the approach of the Baal Shem Tov. And the Eish Al Avrom notes that there is a halacha that when you daven Ne'ikadin B'di'eved, you can daven in any language. And he quotes from the Brachas Yud Gimel and Arach Chayim Simon Salach Beis, B'chol Lashon Mutter. You know, if you daven, you daven in a different language. So if you are pronouncing things differently, he is melamed zechus to those who are not doing the correct pronunciation, who also rely on the idea of Al Titosh Tarasim Mecho. We have something handed down. And somebody asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was very much into promoting the O, he was asked, are you suggesting that the Chidushi Harim, the great Geira Rebbe, never was the Yotza Kriyas Shema? So he said, use Yotza B'di'eved. Maybe it was okay. But we can't change his whole flock. Interesting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Aleph Dalud Nun Yud. Okay? We can't pronounce it properly unless it's in a proper posuk. And Rav Vosner decries those people who pronounce Hashem's name with Ado. Yeah? We say Ado, or Adoi, or Adei, but Ado is definitely not right, according to any opinions whatsoever. And he writes, Hashem Yishmerenu. He says, the people who lead their whole lives saying brachas, saying davening, and they're never saying Hashem's name correctly. They say Kiddush Abdullah, Hashem Yishmerenu, but they are not ever saying Hashem's name correct.
There was somebody here who decided, for better or for worse, that Hashem's name should start with Adi.
Yeah. Adi, he also writes about.
Stop him.
Yeah. Adi is also completely wrong, and there's no opinion whatsoever. But if you pronounce Hashem's name as Adoi, so Rav Hamburger writes that if you say Adoi for Hashem's name, you've got to realize that you are then combining a cholom, a kamat, and a chirik, which he says is not feasible. The cholom is the O, the kamat is the O, and the chirik is the E, and it's not feasible. And if you're doing this where you say Adoi, so you're adding a yud which isn't really there, he says, what about the word Goy? The word Goy, which means a nation, not just a non-Jew, the Jewish people are called Goy 60 times in Tanakh, but the word Goy is spelt Gimel Vav Yud. It's got the yud at the end, so you've got the yud pronounced when you say Goy. And what's the plural? Goyim. Now, if you say Goyim, Goyim, then you've got Gimel Yud Mem, Goyim, which is really the plural of Gai, which means a bikkur, a valley. So it's a meaning which is different completely. You're changing meanings, but we'll deal more with that in part two when you're changing meanings. The Chazon Ish apparently would not answer Omein to somebody who was saying the Shemein Esra and said, Melech Oyev Tzedokah Mishpot. It's Melech Ohev Tzedokah Mishpot. But if you say Melech Oyev Tzedokah Mishpot, then you're calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chassid Shalom an enemy. So it seems, according to some of these sources brought by Rav Hamburger, that the litter way of A is even more correct than Oy. But that's for others. But the Rav Aaron Yitzchok Epstein, the father of the Aruch HaShulchan, he said it can't be A, because otherwise, if you say Havu Lashem Kavod V'Oz in the way they would say it, Kavod V'Oz, then you're talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu being heavy and like a goat. And Rav Baruch Epstein, the Torah Tamimah, who I believe was his grandson, he say we need a remedy for the way we pronounce our cholam, but he doesn't actually say what the correct solution is. But in Kelm, and in Kelm, Kelm, famous Kelm Talmud Torah, where they were generally saying A, they were teaching in the Kelm Talmud Torah to go according to the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, and Rav Simcha Zizel Broder, who was the famous head of it, he said you should teach according to the Gra to say O, and Rav Dessler, who was a Talmud of Kelm, he was very particular to say the pronunciation of O. There's a lot to say, but I'll cut myself short now. The Chassam Sofer was born and bred in Frankfurt. Only later he went over to Hungary. So many Hasidim follow him without realizing that he was actually a born and bred Yekka. And there was a comment made about, he actually writes a tshuva about pronunciation in his tshuvas, Evan Ezer, Chelik Beis Kof Gimel, where it comes to writing of a get. But we'll just quip about something that happened where he was once sitting at a gathering on a Purim and somebody got rather tipsy and drunk. So he made a comment. He said the pasuk, Menachal Vaderech Yishte, this guy's been drinking, Al Kain Yorim Rausch. And Rausch is the German for drunk. And he was saying that this fellow has become Rausch. Should the Chasam Sofer used any other terminology of Oy and A, he couldn't have made such a quip. So there's a proof that the Chasam Sofer used the Ow pronunciation. So Rav Yonah Metzbach, who was Rav in Kultur Yeshiva, he used to daven the Eil at the Omud every Yom Kippur, and he kept to his tradition of saying Ow, even though the Yeshiva themselves were all going Oi. Rav Shimon Schwab said, we don't care if they laugh at us, we know what the correct tradition is, and we might not be able to change whole communities, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, but these individuals should know that if they want to be more Heimish, there is no justification to change from the O pronunciation to the Oi pronunciation, which has no halachic basis whatsoever. So that is our part one. In part two, we're going to deal with how people change meanings when they say different things, and it comes into different howlers, in fact, just like we said God is described as the enemy, Chas v'Shalom, and that will be dealt with separately.